You're listening to The Food Fix. I'm your host, Max Johnston. Some critics argue that structural racism exists in many pillars of American society, like the criminal justice system, politics, and education. Dr. Rich Pirog, the director of the Center for Regional Food Systems at Michigan State University, says that the U.S. food system has structural racism as well. For the past 2 years, Pirog and his colleagues have collected articles, studies, and journals for an annotated bibliography on structural racism present in the U.S. food system, now on its fifth edition. Pirog and I talked about the origins of this structural racism, new efforts to address it, and much more. So digging into the topic at hand, when you're looking at sort of the historical context for this dynamic, I think the most prominent examples that come to mind would be slavery and sharecropping.
Yes.
But does it extend farther back than that, or is that sort of the root when it comes to domestically this racism in the industry?
Yes, and in the United States, I think we have always looked to get labor sources as cheaply as possible for agriculture. And obviously, agriculture over time has become much, much more mechanized, and there's a lot more technology. Still, the case is there are still many, many of our food items that are still picked, processed, sorted by hand. And these are done by many cases migrant laborers and often people of color.
I noticed in your research you mentioned there sort of the four elements of a sustainable good food system, which is affordable, healthy, green, and fair. Now, this last term, fair, I think was an interesting one that sort of applies to this discussion. What are you referring to when you say a food system is fair?
The definition that we use, which came out of research and discussions with a lot of folks across the food industry, both that study it and academics to nonprofits and the industry itself, fair means that nobody was exploited in the whole process from farm to plate. It's very invisible in our society. It used to be we might have parents or grandparents that were raised on the farm, and that's becoming less common. And so, we go to a restaurant, we go to the store, we really have no idea about what's the human interaction and the various hands that have touched that food directly and indirectly. And, were they paid a fair wage? Were they forced to work in unsafe conditions? Were they exposed to pesticides? Were they harassed because of color or sex?
Is that sort of viewed specifically in the context of the labor sort of aspect of?
It is about labor, and it's also it's about policies and practices. People don't always think about structural racism within the context of food, and yet food is the most universal thing. Everybody eats. Everybody is making decisions about their food system every day by the choices of the foods they buy.
Is there an example of an industry or a region that you think sort of exemplifies that model of the fair aspect of a good food system that comes to mind?
Yes, probably the most common that the everyday shopper might see at the grocery store is the fair trade label, particularly been used in second and third world countries. The product that most often is ascribed to that label is coffee. What it would mean, you have to read the fine print, but it should mean that in the case of coffee, the workers were paid a fair and living wage. There were good working conditions. Dollars were reinvested in the communities in which those coffee workers lived. These things really make a difference. Agriculture can be just like mining. It can be literally and figuratively an extractive industry where you're not only taking resources, i.e., nutrients from the soil or coal from the ground, but you are exploiting the workers in one location for the benefit of, in this case, eaters in other locations. Before we had some of these fair trade practices, there are terms that we've used historically in this country, like some of our Central American countries have been called banana republics, and the fruit industry, like bananas, which we take for granted are available 12 months a year, you know, had been for decades and decades, centuries, picked by, you know, very low wage workers who were not treated well so that we could have bananas 12 months in a year. And I think as we see more labels like fair trade in the marketplace, it gives the buyer some choices about how they want to make a statement with their dollars.
And does it have a sort of a commercial value in that sense, and that consumers, you know, can sort of feel better about themselves when they're pursuing different options?
Usually, products like fair trade tend to be a bit higher cost. In a case like fair trade, you're taking care to make sure that everybody is treated well in that food system, and there's no external consequences. So, for example, I'll say a very large retailer that opens a store in a location and says they're providing more jobs. They are providing more jobs, but let's say a very high percentage of those jobs are for people that are on food stamps or receive certain benefits that get subsidized by the government. So yes, there's more jobs, but there's a hidden cost to that that the public doesn't see. So one goes to the store and say, gee, this fair trade product is more expensive. You're more likely paying the true cost, the true environmental and or social cost of that product. When you're buying the much cheaper product, but in many cases you're voting with your dollars for a food system that maintains the status quo of very low wages, particularly for people that harvest, process, and serve your food.
So when sort of considering the local food movement, this idea of sort of knowing where your food comes from, which is obviously the sort of a new craze, how does that factor into this structural racism? And are there aspects that are sort of improving this dynamic or worsening the inequality in a certain sense?
The local food movement was, in this country, did start as a, in part, questioning of the conventional food system. People didn't want to just accept food products, and we had moved to the marketing strategies, had moved to something like just eat it and be quiet, you know, and you don't need to know where it comes from. People need to, I think people in industrialized nations have both the technology and information to know these things, and they should have those choices. But the movement itself, getting to your original question, I think the movement started and this would be true for other movements in this country, and you might even look at something like rock and roll or jazz, is that it's been told more so with a white narrative. Like in jazz, African-Americans really have a huge and rich contribution to where we moved with jazz and many other musical movements, and the same is true with food in this country. And it's not just African-Americans, but other immigrants, Latinos. We've had farm workers. We've always had farm workers picking our fruits and vegetables. This is not something that just happened in the last 20 or 30 years. But the narrative has been more of a white narrative. And it's more in the media and the news, it's more about celebrity chefs, more, you know, really nice places that one can get really cool types of foods that one couldn't get, and that's good, but what our center and I think the movement really has had at its heart is about this idea of having a food system that really is sustainable, and sustainability and fairness do equate in the sense that if you have a food system that exploits part of the people in that system, eventually, I mean, it's just not sustainable. Eventually, those people, they can't continue to do their part, or they revolt, or different things happen. And so the current system is not sustainable in part because it has some environmental impacts, but it's also unsustainable because of some of the social impacts of low wages, which keeps people in the cycle of poverty. You know, most Americans don't realize that the minimum wage laws don't apply to farm workers, but it is part of the food system that we have, and we take it for granted with every apple we bite and with every banana we peel.
What do you think about Dr. Pirog's work? Do you think racism exists within the U.S. food system? Email us with any questions or comments at foodfixpodcast@gmail.com or leave them in the comments below this post. The Food Fix is a project of the Global Center for Food Systems Innovation at Michigan State University, a development lab funded by USAID. I've been your host, Max Johnston. Thanks for listening.